moms, once again, we just want to thank you for being who you are. And this morning, as we dive into God's Word, I think we would be remiss to not acknowledge the reality that while Mother's Day is a day full of emotion for many, many people, not all of those emotions are always great. There can be feelings of resentment. There can be feelings of bitterness, just sorrow, because maybe mom is no longer here or mom was never really there. There can be a lot of emotions that go into Mother's Day. And so we want to take time and acknowledge that. We want to acknowledge that this can be a great day for some and a very difficult day for others. Because, you know, there are ladies who have longed to be mothers and just for whatever reason have not been able to meet that peak yet. And there's moms that, you know, probably wonder why me. But whatever those feelings and whatever those emotional tensions are, we want to take some time today and first and foremost recognize the role of motherhood. Because while this day is full of many, many emotions, and our society grows more and more emotion-driven than reason-driven, we have to understand that we don't want to downplay any of the emotions, good or bad, about a day like today. But remember that days like today, days like Mother's Day, are not so much about affection, but about recognition. It's not about emotions, it's about honoring those that God has placed in our lives and in the earth as mothers. See, the Bible never actually says that we have to like our mom. And the Bible says we're supposed to love everybody. But it's very clear in the Ten Commandments, the middle commandment, number 5, the first 4 are about God, the last 6 are about how we interact with human beings, and that transitional one right there in the middle is about honoring your mother and your father. And so we see in Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And so even if you have a mother that wasn't the most honorable, God still calls and commands us to honor them so that it can go well with us. And anybody that's ever dealt with emotional pain and trauma, and there's a lot of that, and I'm thankful that we do live in a day and age, even though we're becoming more naturally emotion-driven, we're at least coming to a point in our society where people, men and women, old and young, can acknowledge the painful and traumatic things that have happened to them in their lives and try to find healing and hope within them. Not allow them to define us, but to find healing and hope within them. And so God promises us, if we can subject ourselves and submit ourselves to honoring our parents, because here's the other side of it. I've met people who love their parents a whole lot, but they don't show a lot of respect and honor either. But this call to honor isn't just because God commands it, but there's a promise attached to it. Paul actually talks about this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says to honor your mother and father because it has a promise that it will go well with you in the land. And when we learn to honor good or bad, right or wrong, all the things in between, it produces in us an ability to live a well and prosperous life in the lives that God has given us. And you know, if you're here today and you're wrestling with some of those things, you're not alone. And you don't have to go it alone. And there are many ways that you can find, and there's one that's coming up on June 10th. We call it Victory and Freedom. It's for men and for women. Because here's the thing, whether you're a man or a woman, everybody in the room has a mother. Wouldn't be here without one. But this is something where you can process through some of these traumatic things in a spiritual way and find the hope and healing that only Jesus can give, and you can walk in freedom so that it can go well with you in the land. I just want to invite you to that. But God has called us to honor our parents, father and mother. And even if you struggle with that, even if you struggle with that, you have to find something within their lives to attribute honor. And here, I'll give you one for free. Whether you had the greatest mom on planet Earth or you had the worst mom on planet Earth, her body was torn or cut open so that you could be here today. That alone is worthy of honor. And so the impetus and the emphasis is on us to find the things, not even just within our mothers, but with so many other people. What is the thing that I can honor in them? And how can I honor that thing? Because here's a quote from Pastor Gary from our Brighton Heights campus. A culture of honor celebrates who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. And here at Bridge City Church, we want to have a culture of honor. Because we have a responsibility not just to love and cherish our mothers, but to honor them. That doesn't mean that we have to celebrate the things that they did or failed to do, but we celebrate who they are. And that's an important part. Because God's not calling us to honor dishonorable conduct. But he is encouraging us. And if we ask him for eyes to see, he will give us the ability to find things in our moms that we can honor so that it can go well with us in the land. And so one thing I'd encourage you to do today, or whenever you feel up to it, I encourage you, I don't know if you've ever done this, but this is a good practice. When we do pre-marriage counseling with people who are preparing to enter the covenant of marriage together, we encourage them to write letters to their parents, thanking them or, you know, venting. So I encourage you, find some time and write a letter to your mom. Tell her how amazing she is. Tell her how much she means to you. Tell her all the honorable things about her that you want to model in your life. Or tell her the other things. And you can give it to her, or you don't have to give it to her. You can write it down and then burn it right up. But whatever you do, find a way to honor your mom on Mother's Day, because that's what the Word of God calls us to do. And that's what we're going to talk about just briefly here today. Because moms are influencers. Right? Your feelings about or towards your mom reveal how influential she is in your life. I know nowadays we've got all these people, man, and they're on Instagram and Twitter and all these other things, and they're influencers, right? They literally make their money by duping us into watching their silly stuff. But moms are the real influencers. And when you create a culture of honor in a place like a church, you create a place that can influence the influencers. And when you have a culture that honors and recognizes and champions great mothers, but also helps moms that are struggling or feel like they're struggling or feel like they don't measure up, this is a place where you can learn to grow and watch and practice and do the things so that you can live to the fullness as your calling to Christ is. And so today we're going to look at several qualities of great moms. And we're going to see how we can model them and employ them in our lives so that we can make an influence on the world around us. And so the big idea for today is this: we can all have the influence of great mothers when we show unconditional love, speak unconditional truth, and accept unstoppable transitions. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, we see the story of a lady who's known as the Syrophoenician woman, not to be confused with the CU Phoenicia woman. That's the Bi Phoenicia. That's from Friday. That's a different thing. Different lady. It's a different person. This is the Syrophoenician woman. And her story is also featured in Mark, but basically, what we see is this woman, she's a Gentile. That means she's a non-Jew. She's a woman. So really, she's already got two strikes against her at having any right to any access to Jesus. That was just the way the culture was back then. But nevertheless, we see Jesus and his disciples going to the coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon, I believe, for a leadership retreat. I think they were leaving Jerusalem and Israel, and they were going to a nice coastal city, and Jesus was going to hang out with his 12 best and pour into them and just hang out. And the Bible says that Jesus actually tried to remain hidden, but he couldn't, because when you're Jesus, people want to be around you. And this woman heard that Jesus was nearby, and she goes to Jesus. She approaches Jesus because her daughter has a demon. And this demon is jacking her daughter up. And so she goes to Jesus to get help about the demon. And Jesus says, it is not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. Ouch. Like, did Jesus really just call her a dog? He did. Now, did Jesus do it negatively? No. See, there are times where Jesus will give you a stiff word just to see if you'll press in a little bit more. And so Jesus says this to her, but because she's a mama and she knows what unconditional love looks like, she doesn't let what Jesus says to her, she doesn't let anything stop her from getting her what her baby needs. See, because that's what unconditional love is. We live in a day and age, we live in a world where people have confused unconditional love with unconditional boundaries. See, unconditional love means there is no condition for me to love you. I just love you because. Not because you're good, not because you're bad. Not because you're tall, not because you're short. See, those are conditions. I just love you because. And that's the love that God gives to us, and that's the love that God calls us to. But nevertheless, love has to have a definition. Love just can't be whatever, because unconditional love says there's no condition for me to love you, but unconditional boundaries permits people to do whatever they like. And I've seen enough mamas in my life can I speak out of pocket a little bit? They got some raggedy sons they need to kick in their butt. They need to tell their sons some things about themselves. But because I love them. That's not love. Unconditional boundaries permits the person to do whatever they like, even if it goes beyond the definition of love. See, love has a definition. Love looks like something. And sometimes unconditional love means telling them the hard thing. But the core of unconditional love is when you say, there is no condition that is going to stop me from loving you. And that's what that Syrophoenician woman did. She said, there is not going to be anything that stops me from getting what my child needs. That's unconditional love. See, the unconditional love of today, if I can just say this, the unconditional love of today would have tolerated the demon in the child. They'd have let the demon do what the demon wanted to do. Can I say that today? Can I just say that? The unconditional love in America today would have affirmed the demon. That's not unconditional love. Unconditional love says that demon ain't got no right on my baby. I ain't gonna stop loving my baby because the demon's there. But I'm gonna move heaven and earth. I'm gonna fight through anything that I can to get what my baby needs because I love them unconditionally. Unconditional love does not mean tolerating nonstop nonsense. Then you find you a good mama that'll put the foot down. There's a bunch of them in this room. I'll introduce you. If you need a coach, I'll point you in the direction of a few. See, because here's the thing, if they're lazy, you don't got to tolerate that. If they talk back and they're disrespectful, you don't have to tolerate that. They want to act a fool, you don't have to tolerate that in your house. That's your house. See, unconditional love says, I love you enough to kick you out of my house and trust God will protect you until you figure out what's right and wrong. We don't celebrate their foolishness. We believe God for them through it. And great is his faithfulness. Amen? The second thing after we show unconditional love is speak unconditional truth. And I love this, Proverbs chapter 31. And any lady that has ever been to a women's conference ever knows that Proverbs 31, that's your go-to. Proverbs 31 and Deborah in the book of Judges. That seems to just be the lady's go-to. Right there. Maybe a little bit of Ruth sprinkled in. Some Esther, come on. But Proverbs 31 says this of women. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. See, I love that. Because I watch as sometimes moms, because women are usually more delicate, they're more emotionally in tune with what's going on in someone. They don't want to offend or hurt feelings, which is good, because guys are on the opposite end of the spectrum, and we won't even intend to offend, and we'll say something dumb. So ladies, have mercy on us. But they would, rather than give instructions with kindness, they withhold the instructions and let silliness go on. You are entrusted by God to shut that down. And so we have a responsibility, because here's the thing. Good moms don't tolerate bums. Whether that's the daddy, the son, or the daughter. That don't mean that you don't love them. You show unconditional love, but you have to speak unconditional truth. That means truth without conditions, whether it makes them feel good or not, whether they like it or not, whether they agree with it or not. You're the mama. See, we're not trying to raise happy children. We're actually trying to raise functional adults. And that's why my generation, and I'm not trying to take shots, but like, I'm 45, so like 35 to 40 and under, we got a bunch of grown children. Because we had a wave of parenting that came in after a wave of harsh parenting and said, we're going to let the pendulum swing to the other side, and we're just going to love, 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 give, give. There's a show called South Park. I don't encourage you to watch it, but don't pretend like you haven't. And there's a character named Cartman in that. Hey, mom, you ever watch this? Little chubby kid sitting in the basement playing video games all day long. Hey, mom, bring me some chips. And he's cussing his mom out. See, that's, look, he's, I'm going to save that for later. See, I'm biracial and half of me don't understand how that permits to happen. I'll let you do the math on that. But see, you got to speak truth. You can't talk. See, and that's because you know what happens? When you treat a child like that, they just become a bigger child. Moms and dads, but it's Mother's Day, but we have the challenge of letting our kids grow. Because we're not trying to raise happy children. We're trying to raise functional adults. We're trying to raise people that take ownership and serve and give and are selfless and work hard and show up on time and try to attain, not to flaunt it, but to provide for those who can't. That's what we're trying to do here. See, and one of the things that I love about the scriptures, I don't know if you've ever caught this, because sometimes people say, oh, the Bible's misogynistic. No, the culture that the Bible was written in and initially to was misogynistic, and Jesus came to change that and flip it on its ear and show the equality in both genders. He came to celebrate the differences, but also champion the equality. But in the Bible, wisdom is personified by a woman. Did you ever think about that? Wisdom is personified by a woman. You know why? Because God knows the value of a woman's ability to speak the truth in love. See, that's one of the things. In the garden, Adam was deemed to be the head. He was the responsible one. That's why when they sinned, God didn't go looking for Eve. He went looking for Adam because he's like, yo, bro, this is on you. That's why it's called the sin of Adam, not the sin of Eve or the sin of Adam and Eve. It's the sin of Adam because that was his job as the leader. But that didn't mean that he lorded it over his wife because here was the woman's job. The woman's job was advisor. The woman's job was to speak truth. That's one of the reasons why the enemy went to her and not him. Because he said, if I can put it in her ear, it'll get to her mouth, and then it'll get to his ear, because the woman's job was to be the neck that turned the head. And so women have this amazing ability to speak the truth in love that us guys just don't have. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, where we see that, speak the truth in love, two verses ahead of that, Ephesians chapter 13, it actually says that that produces mature manhood. Ladies, we need you to speak the truth in love into situations so that we can produce mature believers and followers and just mature people. So we show unconditional love. We speak unconditional truth. And then we accept unstoppable transitions. Now, before I get to this, I want to say something about the balance of the first two because it's a beautiful balance. This is why I love ladies and what they bring to the world. That same balance is what we see in Jesus in John chapter 1, verses 14. The Bible says Jesus came full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. So when we operate this way, we're operating in Christ's likeness. See, because we live in a day and age that wants grace but no truth. But that's also because we came out of an age where it was all truth but no grace. See, and this is the reason why the balance is so important. Because he came full of grace and truth. Grace leads, but truth gets the final word. You go in with grace, but you have to end and be rooted in truth. Because grace without truth is a license to live a lie. And truth without grace abandons people to the harshness of reality without the hope of redemption. So we need grace and we need truth. And we need both of them because of the third thing, to accept those unstoppable transitions. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. Now you think your relationship with your parents and siblings is sketchy. Jesus is walking around talking about he's God, and that bent a few of his brothers out of shape. They didn't like that. Actually, they thought that was silly. Now I've heard people say this, that's how you know Mary was Italian, because she thought her son was God. She was right though. But nevertheless, we see this situation where Jesus has broken off into his ministry. The reason why he was put on the earth by the Father, he's broken into the ministry, but his mother and brothers came to see him, but they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. Someone told Jesus, yo, Jesus! That's how I would have told him if I was there. Jesus! Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to see you. But Jesus replied, My mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it. And I want you to picture this, especially if you're a mama. Man, your son is headlining. He's shining. Now my mom pimps the act with minks on her back. Right? Biggie Smalls, like Biggie's. But look, Jesus' mom couldn't even get in the venue. Imagine how that made her feel inside. But see, part of the things that mothers have to do and just we as people have to do is we have to learn how to accept unstoppable transitions, because guess what? Growth means change. And see, this wasn't the first unstoppable transition that Mary had to endure. How many of you remember back in Luke chapter 2? Can you remember this? They're on their way back. They're going back to Nazareth. I mean, it's like 70-some miles on feet. And people keep putting Mary on a donkey. There is no donkey in the Bible that Mary had. They were poor. They had to Uber. They didn't have their own donkey. No, they had to walk. Back then, Uber was walk. And so they're on their way back to Nazareth from Jerusalem, about a 70-plus mile walk. And 3 days into the walk, Mary realizes Jesus is gone. He's 12 years old at the time. Now, CYS would have been called if it was today.
Ma'am, when was the last time you saw her, him?
Well, I don't know. We was just walking, and you know, like 3 days later, I looked at Jesus was gone. So Mary goes back to Jerusalem. She starts backtracking to go and look for Jesus. And there's Jesus sitting in the temple teaching religious leaders. Now, this is how I know, and don't be offended, but this is how I know Jesus isn't black. Because if Jesus was black, Mary would have been black. And if Mary was black and she rolled up in the temple, she'd have been walking lopsided because she'd have had one sandal in her hand and the other on her foot, and she'd have caught Jesus with a hot one. What did I tell you not to be here in the... Jesus would have been like, did not you know I had to be in my Father's house? That's how I know. It's an idea, it's a thought I have, but it's a guess. But Mary had to process transition in Jesus' life because she knew that Jesus wasn't called to just be a carpenter. We don't know it in this country as much as other countries know it, but other countries are generationally locked into whatever you're supposed to do, because if your daddy was a fisherman, you were a fisherman. Because his granddaddy was a fisherman and his daddy was a fisherman. Do you see, God has purpose instilled in your children, but you have to learn to let them transition from being your baby into being a man or being a woman. See, that's why it's important that Jesus was 12, because on the 13th birthday in Judaism, you get your bar mitzvah. That's when there is no teenager in Judaism. It's child to man. And he was in a transitional point in his life. And Mary had to process that, and she had to deal with that. Then there was another one in John chapter 2. Jesus hasn't started his ministry yet, and they're invited to a wedding. Big party. And I mean, it must have been turn up, because they drank all the wine. It was all gone. See, some of y'all read the Bible like they were sitting there having Bible study at the wedding. No, they was turned up. Yes. They were lit. And my guess is Jesus had a few sips too. And so Jesus is just there enjoying the party with his disciples, and his mother comes and he says, Jesus, they're out of wine. And I love it because Jesus says, woman? Again, not black. Y'all seen the Eddie Murphy thing where his mom could throw a shoe like a boomerang? That's what would have happened. That's for real. Them sandals are aerodynamic. You thought it was because of the shape of your foot. No, so it came back after your mom threw it at you. That's why it was. But since he has foreknowledge, he'd have ducked. Ha ha, you missed. And she'd have caught him with the second one. But she said, Jesus, they're out of wine. A very insignificant thing. And Jesus ain't a winemaker. But because she had gone through the transition in the temple, she understood, man, my child is the Son of God, and the Son of God can do whatever he wants, whether it's heal the sick, raise the dead, or ensure that people don't suffer the embarrassment of running out of wine at their wedding. See, and Jesus says, woman, my time hasn't come yet. But Mary understood the need for a mom to nudge her child into a transitional phase. She said, yeah, but you know what? It has. If your son is balding and living in your basement, it's time to nudge. And if you need help nudging, me and some of the men from the church can come and help to nudge. But see, Mary learned to accept unstoppable transitions. And that's what I believe. I'm going to have Caden come up. That's what I believe enabled her to go through the most horrific transition on the face of the earth. watch your perfect, sinless son, not because you think he's perfect, but because he is perfect. Because he's not just your son, he's the Son of God. Watch him be wrongly accused, betrayed by his friends, convicted in a kangaroo court trial, beaten mercilessly, tortured, mocked by being forced to carry the instrument of his death on his back, the back that had literally had the flesh ripped off to the rib cage, up a hill called the Place of the Skull. She stood by and watched as people that he loved, people that he prayed for, people that he healed, people that he fed, stretched him out on that wooden cross and nailed her baby boy. After they stripped him naked, she watched. See, and sometimes that's the power of a mama. Sometimes you just have to watch. You know she wanted to stop it. You know she wanted to cry out, let him go. Oh, but it's my baby! But she knew her child had a greater purpose. She knew it was for that reason that he came. And she had to exert the strength that I believe only mamas have to not respond. Because she knew it wasn't the end. See, whether you're a mom or not, you will have to endure watching unstoppable, horrific transitions happen in your life. There are people in this room that have lost children in the last year, parents in the last year, multiple parents. There are people who are in the process of hardships right now. And that doesn't mean that God is absent in it, and it doesn't mean that he can't or won't do anything about it. It just means you're in a place of transition. But if you could today just allow yourself to open your heart to the place where you can just say, Jesus, give me the ability to accept unstoppable transitions. Pray like you can do something about it, but not lose heart when I face it. And you're ready to face the world. Because the two things that people hate most in the world are death and change. And those are the two most inescapable things on planet Earth. So here we are, caught in this tension, caught in the in-between of unstoppable transitions like death and change. But we are backed, supported, and loved by an unstoppable God. And so, today, I want to encourage you with the fact that Jesus has it covered. But I want to challenge you, whether you're a mother or not, to embrace these three principles in your lives, to show unconditional love. Not unconditional boundaries, but love that says, I just love you because. But sometimes love says no. To speak unconditional truth, ensuring that it's mixed with unconditional love. But to accept unstoppable transitions. Dorothy Canfield Fisher says this, a mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. What does that mean? Your job as a mama, or really your job as somebody that imparts into other people. You are an influencer, whether you know it or not. Your job is not just to be someone that they can lean on, but your job is to impart and love and speak truth and train in a way that they will get to a place in their life where they don't have to lean anymore. They can stand and stand in such a way that someone else can lean on them until they can stand. And it's hard. Jesus never said it would be easy. He just said he'd always be with us through it. That's what he said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And surely I'm with you even to the end of the age. And so, if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, the Lordship of the King, I want to encourage you today to do this for a couple of reasons. One, because the only way to truly be able to show unconditional love, speak unconditional truth, and accept unstoppable transitions is to have the power of God backing you. You cannot do it on your own. But there's an even greater reason to receive the Lordship of Christ. His life, his substitutionary death for the sin of the world, for your sin and mine, his resurrection, his ascension back to the right hand of the Father, and his enthronement, where the Bible says those of us who have trusted in him, we are seated with him. So you just don't want to receive him so that you can deal with things today. You want to receive him so that you can be with him today. And that when you die, you will be with him then forever and ever, because your sins are forgiven and you have entered into eternal life. And so if you're here today and you've never receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have a day or a time that you can say, I surrendered my life to the Lordship of Jesus, I want to invite you right now, just by a show of hands, to say, I want to do that right now. I want to have the ability to speak, show unconditional love, to speak unconditional truth, to accept unstoppable transition. I want to have the opportunity to be in eternity with Jesus one day. I want to be have the opportunity to sit enthroned with him right now. Let me tell you something, it feels good, because when the weight of the world is coming at you, I remember that Jesus is my hope. Amen. You know, I know that just raising your hand, I can be tough in a room full of people, most of whom are probably strangers to you. And I get that some of you, you're feeling it stir right now, and maybe, but you know what? There's a little card on the seat next to you, and there should be a pen somewhere around you too. If you say, I want to receive Jesus' Lordship, I want you to take that card. And even if you raised up your hand, you can take the card too. Put your name on there and check that little box that says, I want to receive Jesus. I want to make him the forgiver of my past and the leader of my future. And I want you to take it back to our connection point. Someone will be there to talk with you about that, pray with you, do all that good fun stuff. So right now I'm going to go ahead and have some of the most amazing mothers that Bridge City Church has to offer come and close us out. You welcome Roy Ann and Sandra.